Jeff Passan dropped an absolute bombshell of an article. He is talking about a million different possibilities. Corey Seager is someone who's open to being traded potentially. The Rangers could be considering an offer for him. Josh Chisholm, the Yankees are listening to trade offers there, and they're linked to Mackenzie Gore once again. But Alex, there's a lot going on in that Jeff Passan article. It seems like there could be some serious movement in the baseball world. Tarek Skubal apparently likely to get traded. So, Alex, how you doing today, my friend? Like, what is this bombshell of an article, man?
What is this bombshell of an article? I mean, listen, we love some good speculation. We love some good news. We love some excitement. The question is, where the hell are the Yankees? And what the hell are the Yankees doing? We heard the news. We talked about it extensively about Mackenzie Gore. We talked about Donovan. We talked about Trevor McGill. We talked about Freddie Peralta. How many more guys do we need to talk about before the Yankees actually get someone? We don't really know. Brian Cashman said that the winter meetings and really the state of the market is operating at a glacial speed. You know how fast a glacier goes? It's like inches a year. So, like, yeah. You know, that's very, very, very slow pace. And we saw a couple big moves yesterday. I mean, Pete Alonso signs a massive deal. So this is really bad for the Yankees. Let's be very clear. Really bad for the Yankees. Dylan Cease goes to reinforce the Blue Jays. They're probably not done. The Toronto, Orioles get Pete Alonso, a guy that's going to hit 30-plus home runs a season for them. You know, their offense is now one of the best in baseball. What are the Yankees doing to defend themselves in an AL East that is stacked? I mean, this division is freaking impossible to come away with as automatic. We used to like walk in to the division lead. We're gonna have to claw and freaking scratch our way to it now. So, you know, what's the vibe? Like, the big article, lots of stuff, but like, what do you think is material?
So let's start with the first thing that I think everyone wants to talk about. Corey Seager, the Rangers are in listening mode with Corey Seager. Now, their motive here would not be to clear payroll. It would be to get an offer that makes sense for them and makes them better. So I wouldn't say like, hey, if you're the Yankees, just taking the contract's enough. No, you've got to help them win baseball games. So let's identify some of the big weaknesses with the Rangers. And one of them is pretty contradictory. The Rangers need offense. The Rangers don't have a good offense. So by trading their best player offensively, you kind of put them in a weird spot. But I do think for the Yankees, this is where you would have to, like, you'd have to trade Ben Rice. You're not getting him without trading Ben Rice away. So I want to make this very clear about going out and getting Corey Seager. You're trading Ben Rice. He is gone. They might need an outfielder. You're trading Jason Dominguez. He is gone. They're going to need starting pitching. Cam Schwitler. He is gone. Like, I know people are going to say, well, he's got such a big contract and this and that. I know. And those guys are still gone. At least that's what the Rangers would want. The Rangers are not going to trade Corey Seager unless they're totally overwhelmed. They don't have to trade Corey Seager. This is not a scenario where the Rangers are going, oh, we have to trade Seager. Like, we have no choice. We're so effed up financially. They can hold on to him and just not make additions in their offseason and then decide over the deadline, next winter, whatever it may be, to trade him. Now, I do think, Alex, the Yankees do have a couple of pieces that have money attached to them that can help offset the salary and make this a little more feasible for the Yankees. One name I throw out here, I know that he's not, quote-unquote, like a great player, but Trent Grisham and or Ryan McMahon. Grisham's making some money. He would offset some of that salary for the Yankees, but they need outfield support. I know they have Brandon Nimmo. I know they have Evan Carter. I know they have Wyatt Langford, but Carter's had injury issues. Nimmo's had injury issues. They could use a guy who can rotate in and out of that DH spot. I kind of look at Ben Rice and go, they need a first baseman. Like, Ben Rice is this mega attractive cheap piece for any team in a trade for Corey Seager. They could use a third baseman. I know that Josh Young is on their roster, but I don't think Josh Young is someone who's got a permanent spot on that roster, and they can always shuffle him around the diamond if they want. They would want pitching. I mean, that's the thing is here, Alex, like, at what point are you just making your team worse and giving yourself more holes to cover in trading for Seager? Alex, what are you doing for Corey Seager? What is your, like, all right, this is what I'm doing for Corey Seager to go out and get him?
Listen, so Seager's 31 years old. You know, you mentioned the big deal, 10 years, $325 million, averaging $32.5 million per season. That expires in 2031. However, you're getting one of the best shortstops in baseball. This is a 138 WRC plus hitter this past season, 21 homers. You know, you're talking about a 19.6% strikeout rate, 13% walk rate, hit .271. This is a guy you pair with Aaron Judge and say, welcome. Like, you're going to be the freaking Robin to Batman. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to be that complimentary piece that makes Aaron Judge that much better. That lefty-righty kind of elements that you want. The question is, like you said, at what point are you stripping yourself of too much value? And I think that's kind of what Cashman said to us the other day. He said the asking prices are gargantuan. Like, they're just too high for us to bite on some of these opportunities. Like you said, like, you know, we'll use this as part of the actual same conversation. I think the Yankees are listening on Jazz Chisholm the same way that the Rangers are listening on Corey Seager. It's like, okay, if you're going to give me more than I thought, we'll do it. But if you're not going to meet that threshold, I don't think I'm going to bite on it. So, you know, right now you look at Seager, obviously I'd love to have the guy. This is a tremendous, tremendous player. The problem is, if you're losing Ben Rice, you're losing pitchers that are going to be, like, if you're going to have to give up Ben Rice and Cam Schlueter, at what point you're like, that's way too much to just shred apart, you know, critical strengths for, to plug a spot that is a need, but you open up holes other places.
Yeah, and I kind of want to put together a little bit of a mock trade. Like, let's have the fun here. Let's think. Like, I think this would get a deal done. I think if the Yankees went up to the Rangers and said, this is what we're going to offer you, they would get the player. And I'm not saying they should do this. I'm just saying, like, if I'm tasked with my sole job is to get the Rangers to trade Corey Seager, this is what I would offer. Ben Rice, Cam Schlueter, Carlos LaGrange, George Lombard Jr. You give them two top 100 prospects, and you give them two guys who are immediate impact pieces on their roster. Schlueter has 6 years of service time, I think, if not five. Rice has 5 years of service time remaining, so they're not even arbitration eligible. And then you improve at first base over Jake Berger, who, no offense to Jake Berger, who's actually fast. Like, people think because his last name is Berger that he's, like, big, fat, and, like, can't move.
He's a big dude, though.
He actually is kind of fast, which I think is pretty funny. He, unfortunately, is a product of being named Jake Berger, but you can easily improve over Jock Peterson at DH with Ben Rice or Berger, who has not really hit this past year. You can improve off those two with Rice, maybe have them platoon Berger against lefties, Jock Peterson against righties at the DH spot, but Ben Rice immediately becomes their either best or second best hitter, either ahead of or behind Wyatt Langford. Cam Schlueter with that rotation, could you imagine Jacob deGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, and Cam Schlueter as a rotation? That is effing disgusting. That is disgusting. They've got Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker. Like, they've got dudes. This would be awesome for them from that standpoint. You give their farm system, which is one of the better farm systems in the game, George Lombard Jr. and Carlos LaGrange, they might have four or five top 100 prospects. They've got a loaded rotation. They've got a really good first baseman. And if they go out there and they sign, like, a big bat and with the money that they cleared up, it doesn't have to be a Kyle Tucker or a Cody Bellinger. Let's say they sign, like, even, I mean, I don't, let's say it's not like a Jorge Polanco or an Alex Bregman. I don't know, like somebody who's going to make under $200 million over the course of their contract. They've got probably like a top, five team in the American League. They're going to be a postseason team. So, yes, I think that would get the Rangers Corey Seager. But, Alex, would you make or not make this deal? Ben Rice, Cam Schlueter, Carlos LaGrange, George Lombard Jr., are you making that deal?
I'm not making that deal. And the reason I say that is because, look, I really like Corey Seager. This is one of the best players in the game, but he's 31 years old. At what point are you going to see some sort of regression? At what point is that going to happen and you're still paying $32 million? I understand, like, leveraging to get Aaron Judge that shit before his inevitable decline, but what happens if there's no 2027 season? Like, suddenly, you know, Seager's 31 now, he's 32 next season, there's no season. Now he's 34 years old and you only had one season of him. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not making that deal because I do think Ben Rice is going to provide similar offensive output to Corey Seager long term, if not even better. I think the defense obviously at shortstop, like think about it this way, like you lose Ben Rice, so now you have to plug first base with somebody else, and they're, you know, Rice and Seager are probably offering you similar offense, at least in WRC plus. We'll look at like similar WRC plus, and Anthony Volpe without the torn labrum is still, you know, let's say he's a Gold Glove shortstop. Like, we didn't really fix anything. You know what I mean? Like, you just gave away a player that has similar offensive quality, similar offensive WRC plus numbers, just use that as a baseline. And then you get the defense, but Anthony Volpe can provide that defense. He just can't provide the offense. So I think, like, from a matchup standpoint, I don't, and then you have Cam Schlueter, who we both think could be an ace. You know, we both think he has that type of upside. I'm not doing that deal because there's too much risk involved. He's not young enough. If he was 28 years old, I'd be more inclined, but he's 31 and we might not play a season in 2027. So that really does concern me.
Yeah. Here's kind of my math in my head here. What did Cam Schlueter and Ben Rice combine to do in 2025? And what are they projected to do in 2026? Rice and Schlueter combined for about 4.3 wins above replacement on Fangraphs. Corey Seager contributed 4 wins above replacement on Fangraphs. That already alone is a non-starter for me. Mm-hmm. Corey Seager played 102 games last year. He's 31. He's going to turn 32. Like, doing this trade for Corey Seager is that's just being stupid. That's just doing it because you want the name, you want the buzz, you want to get fans excited, you want to, like, that is That is dumb shit. That is doing a dumb thing to overcorrect for a mistake he made 4 years ago. I wouldn't do it. I think it's fantasy land. The Yankees are not getting Corey Seager. That's not happening. Not a chance in hell. The same way, and I think it's a good segue, Alex, when we talk about Jazz Chisholm, there is, I think, a chance maybe the Yankees trade Jazz Chisholm, but this seems more like, hey, blow me away and I'll do it, but if not, he's our second baseman next year. There are like two players I would consider better than Jazz Chisholm at second base. That's Ketel Marte and Nico Hoerner. I would say the Yankees are not trading for either. Alex, what is your interpretation of this Jazz Chisholm situation? Do you think he's getting traded? Do you think he's not getting traded? Like, what did you think when you saw that report from Jeff Passan?
I mean, listen, when it comes to Jazz, I really like Jazz. And the reason I like Jazz is because he brings an energy and a spark this team desperately has needed. You know what I mean? He has an aura about him. He's got aggressiveness about him. He changed the identity of this team. You know, think about the team that we had in 2024, how slow and how freaking ugly they looked. They couldn't run the bases. They weren't aggressive. They didn't even try to aggressively run the bases. Like, they were one of the worst in baseball. Ryan, tell me, how much better were the Yankees at running the bases this past season, and how much of that was because of Jazz Chisholm?
Yeah, the Yankees were, look, in the first half, they were bad just at everything that wasn't hitting as a position player group. But this past year, the Yankees had negative 4.7 base running runs on Fangraphs. Double plays are part of that, should note that. And they had negative 17.2 base running runs the year prior. They actually, I remember Googling this stat or checking this stat on Fangraphs. Their two worst base running seasons since integration, so since Jackie Robinson started his MLB career, were 2023 and then 2024. So take that for what it take that for what you will. You watched two of, like, unless you were alive before integration, before the conclusion of the Second World War, you just watched the two worst base running teams in Yankee history. And then you follow it up with just a below average group. That is a Jazz Chisholm effect for sure.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Jazz plays a big role in that, but also you get the 30 home runs. This is the first season they've had him for a full year, right? A full year of Jazz, his defense, the smooth, you know, capabilities that he has at second base. Losing him, you better have a damn good backup plan. You know, you better have a really damn good backup plan. That backup plan better be a Brendan Donovan. It better be somebody really freaking talented because, you know, Jazz is a specific type of player. There's problems with him, though, right? The injury concerns, he's missed time pretty much every single season, right? Like, he plays through injury, he plays hurt, the strikeouts at times, the cold spells can be lengthy, but the moments you do get from him, the good moments, he plays consistently good defense. You know, he is an energy, or like an energizer bunny. He is, you know, really, really capable of changing the course of a season and the course of a game. And he brings an element of excitement and energy to Yankee Stadium and the fans that we've desperately needed. Trading him would be a big mistake, and more so because replacing him would be even more difficult. I know the Yankees don't love paying second basemen, but the second basemen also don't get top dollar. So Jazz isn't going to get this astronomical contract that I think some people do believe he will. I think it's going to be more nominal, and I do think that, you know, the Yankees need to consider what that looks like. The problem with him is that if his athleticism falls off at some point, it's going to be a pretty dramatic drop-off in value. That's really my biggest concern. The injuries start to pile up. He gets a bit older. What's the duration of this contract? And I get the concept. Let's trade him while his value is high because we don't think that we're going to extend him on this long 6-7-8-year deal. So there is logic to that. I just don't see a backup plan. You know, like, what's the backup plan, Ryan? What would you do in this instance? You said Ketel Marte, not really realistic. Nico Hoerner, not really realistic. Are you looking at Donovan as the option there?
If the Yankees replace Jazz Chisholm with Brendan Donovan, I think they're lateraling at second base. I think they're lateraling. And, like, it depends. Like, look, if the Yankees got an offer of, let's say the Tigers are like, yo, we'll give you, and they wouldn't do this because they have a second baseman in Glaber. Like, that's not happening. I'm just throwing this out there. If the Tigers were like, hey, we'll do Scoobal for Jazz, like, yeah, of course you would do that. So that's like a scenario, I guess. It's not going to happen, but sure. That's what listening is. It's like, hey, I know the Pirates want a second baseman. You guys want to give us, like, Jared Jones and Bubba Chandler? No? Okay. We'll keep them then. Like, this isn't, to me, this screams very much, again, like Corey Seager, where we talk about, like, yeah, the Rangers are listening. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. It's kind of stupid to not listen. It'd be stupid for you to not listen on a rental player. I'm sure, like, the Yankees are getting calls on David Bednar. Like, hey, are you going to move him? I'm sure they're getting calls on Camilo Doval, Fernando Cruz. Like, I mean, how many players on the roster do you think they're not getting calls for? I guess Aaron Judge, Garrett Cole, Max Fried. You don't think the Yankees are getting calls on, like, Carlos Rodon even? Like, hey, like, would you want to swap bad contract for bad contract? You don't think, like, the Rangers went, you want to do Marcus Semien for Carlos Rodon? Is that something you'd want to do? Like, you want to think about it? And the Yankees are like, no. I'm sure those are, like, conversations that were had. Just because you have interest. Ben Rice. Every team in baseball called the Yankees about Ben Rice. Like, hey, can I get Ben Rice? You want to give us your whole organization? No? Cool. This is part of the process. It's due diligence. I wouldn't freak out about it. And I think if the Yankees were to trade Jazz, it would be because, again, they got some crazy, like, this would be some, like, next level, kind of like, this would require an hour of recording podcast type of move that would happen if they were to trade Jazz and then replace him with another second baseman. I don't think they're trading him to replace him with Jose Caballero. So, yeah, I don't think they're trading him in the first place, but that'd be crazy. I think it'd be, like, for a crazy, crazy return. Alex, I mean, is there like a team? Is there like a team you're thinking about? Hey, like, you want Jazz Chisholm? Like, I have a team in mind, man. I really don't.
I think that's the thing about listening is that you're not the one going out and trying to make those calls. Like, they're incoming calls, and it's just a really good winter speculative news. Like, that's people say, oh, they're listening because it's fun, and then we have podcasts about it, and other people talk about it, and it becomes a storyline and a narrative, and Jazz Chisholm's on a beach hanging out with his girl. So it's like, you know, nobody really, you know, believes that that stuff will happen. Crazier things have happened, though. So I'm not going to rule anything out. What I will say is that it's speculative news during the offseason that, you know, is interesting to talk about. But the Yankees right now are falling behind. There's time to catch up. And, you know, you look at the Mets right now. They lost Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso. They are a worse team than they were 2 weeks ago. But there's a lot of offseason left and a lot of money the Yankees have to spend. I do think at the end of the day they're going to bring back Cody Bellinger. And that's just because I think that's like they'll sell that to us as the big move. And things are going to be really similar next year. Like, I think we're not going to see a much different team. I think the Yankees say to themselves, we really like what we have. We think Ryan McMahon can get better. We think that Ben Rice is going to be a starting first baseman, an excellent one. We think that, you know, Volpe will come back healthy and he'll be better. We think that Cole's going to be back. We think that Schlittler's here. Like, we have Elmer Rodriguez coming up. I think they think that they have a lot going for them. And they had a top two, three offense last year. So, like, you know, you're looking at the Yankees and, like, they're probably thinking, we don't need to change this offense that much. Like, we can run it back, have an elite offense, and solve the specific things that we feel it are the difference makers. The problem with the Yankees, though, Ryan, and I'm going to say it like I said in last episode, and I'll let you kind of respond to this, they don't have players that show up in big moments. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have players that consistently show up every single game in the playoffs. Aaron Judge was the only guy. Bellinger disappeared. Stanton disappeared. You know, McMahon actually looked decent. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jazz was kind of quiet. They need more guys that show up in big moments. Like, Ben Rice was ice cold in the playoffs. Like, how do you fix that, Ryan? Like, in your opinion, you're looking at, like, that's their biggest problem. They do not show up in high leverage situations. They do not feel the urgency. How do you fix that?
So, Alex, the first thing that comes to mind, let's talk about this from the offensive standpoint first. The biggest disconnect, I think, between Yankee fans and the Yankee front office is that Yankee fans don't think the offense is good. They will never consider – I don't think the Yankee fan will ever consider the offense good until they win the World Series. That is I'm going to say this quite frankly. They will never believe this offense is good until they win a World Series because every postseason, every team has their offense get worse in the postseason. Like, team offense is dog crap in the postseason. It's turbo. You know the other word that comes after turbo. I'm just not going to say it because I would like to keep the cursing to a minimum. But every team, their offense stinks this time of year. The league average offense slash line this past postseason, this past regular season, I apologize, 245, 315, 404, OPS, 719. Let's look at the postseason, the average postseason slash line. So again, remember, 719 OPS in the regular season. Postseason, the OPS drops to 692. The average OPS in the postseason is below 700. The average WRC plus is 93. 93. So, at least this past year. So, let's say for the Yankees, their offense this postseason had a 93 WRC plus and a 693 OPS. They went from the best offense in baseball to league average in seven games. And I know people don't want to hear this, and everyone's kind of brace yourself when I say this. That can just happen. It is very, like, it can, in seven games, you can just have seven subpar offensive games. That can happen. Last postseason, 2024, the New York Yankees had a 116 WRC+. They had a 752 OPS. If you compare it to the 2024 WRC+ and OPS in the regular season, it was a 2-point decrease in WRC+ and within 10 points in OPS. And those with Aaron Judge not hitting. So take it for what you will. Get upset at it. Get upset at me. The Yankees have the second highest batting average among postseason teams in the postseason. Get mad at me. You can get mad at me and say, you know, this isn't that. Like, sure, great. Approach this. Whatever. Look, that's not how the Yankees view it. That's not how the industry does not view the Yankee offense from this past season as a bad offense. Projections don't view them as a bad offense. Projections view them as, hey, they probably need a left fielder. Let's get some bench bats, give them a little more depth against lefties, and let's roll from there. And that's how the Yankees view it. Now, I wish that left fielder was Kyle Tucker, because if you put Kyle Tucker, you take a group that is good on paper and make them great, versus taking a Cody Bellinger, makes a good group really good. I want to be great. Everyone just wants to be the best and the best. You're the Yankees. Like, I understand that expectation. Now, as it pertains to what you mentioned with guys not rising in the postseason, a lot of these guys haven't been here for a while. So I also wonder, continuity, I've talked about this before, is continuity a good or a bad thing for the Yankees? We won't know until, well, they play. And regardless of whether Bellinger comes back, whether they bring in Tucker, whether they trade Jazz, there are going to be a lot of holdovers from last year's postseason squad. The first baseman's going to remain the same. The shortstop's going to remain the same. The third baseman's going to remain the same. The catcher's going to remain the same. The center fielder's going to remain the same. The DH, the right fielder, and potentially the left fielder if Bellinger comes back. But if he doesn't, Bellinger will not be left fielder. And look, Jazz is going to be back, most likely. So second base. Everyone but left field is guaranteed to be back from that postseason group. Everyone. So if love it, hate it, this is what this group is. This group is supposed to be good. They were great last year. They're the best offense in baseball last year. The best offense in the American League the year prior. They've produced great offenses in the Judge eras. They just haven't translated in the postseason. And a lot of those big failure postseason teams in terms of offensive production were from the Baby Bomber era. This is not the Baby Bomber era anymore. These are new guys. So, again, we'll see if it's a clubhouse thing, a culture thing. Alex, I would raise you this question. If the Yankees, knowing, as I mentioned, that it's very different from, let's say, the 2018, 2019, 2020 Yankees, if they keep hitting that wall offensively in the postseason, is that for you like a, hey, we'll fire Aaron Boone kind of situation? Is that how you would feel?
I mean, listen, like, at some point there has to be someone to blame when it comes to shortcomings in high leverage moments, right? Like, great teams elevate their game. You watched the Blue Jays do it this past year. I mean, you saw Vladdy, like, he went crazy. So did Aaron Judge, though. But the rest of that team showed up in big moments. The Dodgers, I mean, they got a perfectly timed home run from Miguel Rojas, right? Like, you just need guys to step up in big moments. And sometimes it's the guys you don't necessarily expect. The Yankees, unfortunately, a lot of their big bats can't handle the increase in pitching efficiency from other teams. You know what I mean? Like, you savage. Look what he did to us. Like, he tore us apart. You watched, like, our offense, it was great during the regular season, but against some really good pitchers, they just got completely cooked. You know what I mean? And, like, that happens, right? Like, that's why you have good pitchers. But sometimes you need to be able to beat good pitching, and our offense does not elevate against those guys. I think that's a mentality thing. I don't think it's a talent thing. Like, I know how talented Ben Rice is. Why was he so like inconsistent though? Like, you know, like, I know how good this guy or that guy is. Like, why does Stanton suddenly go from like his vintage Stanton during the regular season to literally could not hit in the playoffs? Like, there are things happening. I think a lot of them are psychological. I don't know who to blame for that though. Like, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, Aaron Boone's the reason that this guy wasn't hitting, because like Aaron Boone can't hit for them. But there needs to be more evaluation from a mental perspective, I think, on how to psychologically prepare the players for the playoffs, right? I don't know what that requires or what that demands, but that might be something they might consider looking into. Like, their psychological well-being in the playoffs is sometimes compromised. They look like a losing team. They look like they don't have fight or have urgency. They strike out in big moments. They don't make contact. They don't change and apply the required needs. For the moment, their situational awareness is compromised at times, and their decision-making can sometimes be a bit skewed. So I don't think there was much of that this past playoffs. I think Boone, he managed a decent playoff spell. I just think that the players didn't play all together that well at times. So I'm not really sure who to blame. I think that's a question for you guys in the comment section. If you guys are still here 25 minutes in, when I expect you guys to absolutely be here 25 minutes in, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button if you're enjoying this episode. We cut out the whole intro for you guys today, went kind of right into it. I feel like that was kind of a fun thing and a little change of pace, you know, dive right into the conversation. So if you guys really are enjoying the Fireside Yankees podcast as of late, make sure to hit like and subscribe. But Ryan, you know, to answer your question, don't really know who to blame. I think the players just need to elevate their performance in big moments. That's the end of end all of it.
Yeah, and again, I mean, look, I just think it's a matter of, like, if you ask me, like, do I think the Yankees are going to be naturally disposed to underperforming in the postseason? No. I mean, I think everyone, you could make that argument for everybody. The Blue Jays were perpetual underperformers until they weren't, and they still didn't win the World Series. The Dodgers spent, like, a decade being the team that got their ass whooped in the postseason. They were the bridesmaid, never the bride, for about a decade, and then they just started adding star talent, and they stopped getting their ass whooped. And, you know, credit to them, they're the best team in baseball, and I don't think that's going to change going into the year, regardless of what the Yankees do, unless they were to go get Kyle Tucker and trade for Tarek Skubal, which don't think the Yankees are doing that. And I think this is a good segue to kind of also get into the pitching here, because there were some pitching rumors dropped by Jeff Passan and Jesse Rogers and kind of the cornucopia of ESPN writers that are prominent on the baseball side. The first one I want to talk about is Tarek Skubal being likely to be traded. Now, Alex, I don't believe the New York Yankees are going to trade for Tarek Skubal. I think it'll be the Dodgers and or maybe the Mets. Where do you think he ends up? And do you think the Yankees, like, what would you trade for him?
I mean, listen, man, like, I am not trading for Tarek Skubal. Then maybe that's going to blow your mind. He is going to walk in free agency next year. 100%. The Mets are probably going to pay him next year, and he will leave. The Mets have already shown that they love to take our players. You know, it could still be Bellinger. They got Devin Williams. They, you know, they signed, obviously, Juan Soto. They signed Clay Holmes. Like, we are becoming a farm for the guys across the river who have the money to spend on these guys. If the Yankees go and acquire Tarek Skubal, we are going to lose him. So I am not going down that path with him. You know what I mean? Like, that's my personal opinion. Obviously, yeah, to each their sure. own. But I am terrified of that reality. I don't think the Yankees will pay him as much as the Mets will. And that will be catastrophic, because to acquire him via trade, it'll shred us. It will kill – our whole farm is gone. Plus Ben Rice, plus Cam Schlittler. So it's like, you know, can't risk it. Too big of a risk. I'd rather just wait and bid for him next year. That's personally how I feel about it. I'm too afraid of losing him.
I'm going to give the douchebag Yankee take. Dude, I'd trade for him. I'd trade for him. Like, I think the Yankees' biggest issue is pitching. And this is controversial. I think the Yankees' pitching staff has been bailed the F out by the offense. No group. The Yankee rotation specifically. And the bullpen is lumped in this as well. Dude, no group in baseball among big market teams. No, screw it. Among sports, no group of players have gotten a greater pardon for their sins than the pitching staff has over the last 2 years. I see more people blame, like, the Chiefs' offense gets crap. Kevin Petullo on the Eagles, he got his freaking house egged. You want to look at basketball? Like, Karl Anthony Towns is, like, the biggest. He is the most controversial player on the Knicks every single year. Julius Randle got crap for years. People think you can't win with Brunson. If you want to look at the Mets, I mean, Francisco Lindor freaking catches blame. People are like, oh, Juan Soto, he's a clubhouse cancer. The guy hit 40 home runs and stole 40 bases, and people still don't hug him and embrace him. And Lindor is this ultra clutch, ultra amazing future Hall of Famer, and the Met fan can't just wrap their arms around him. This pitching staff has cost the Yankees so many games. Game one of the World Series, you're winning that game. How do you not close out that game? Jake Cousins walked Gavin Lux. He walked Gavin Lux with three Hall of Famers coming up. How do you do that? How do you walk Gavin Lux? And then the ALDS, everyone goes, the offense went silent. The Yankees gave up like 60 runs in Toronto. Max Fried got destroyed. Will Warren came in and gave up 8 runs. The first thing Will Warren did when he came into the game was walk the first guy and give up a grand slam to Valero Jr. right after. The game was over in the third inning. Luke Weaver couldn't get an out in any of the ALDS games. He was terrible. How do people think people look at the postseason and they go, it's because this guy didn't hit. It's because that guy didn't hit. And look, Judge has had his bad postseasons. Don't get me wrong. But Alex, this pitching staff gets the Carlos Rodon has one good playoff start with the Yankees. One of them. He hasn't completed 5 innings in all but one postseason start with the Yankees. One, Alex. I counted the starts. The Yankees have gotten 5 or more innings from their starter in 24. ALDS. No, they didn't get it. No, 1-1-1. Garrett Cole gave them 1. ALCS 1. World Series 2. That's it. They couldn't buy good starts. 3 of those guys. Garrett Cole. It's just Garrett Cole. No one does a job in the postseason. Nobody. I'm not saying they can't. I'm gonna lose. I'm losing. I might pass out. I'm sorry. I just reliving the trauma of that. Like I relive that trauma every single day. Okay. Point is, I can't understand, Alex. This pitching staff has an ERA of like 5 in the postseason the last 2 years. 5. They can't buy it out.
This guy Rodon can't buy a quality start. Rodon couldn't even straighten his arm when the postseason
Dude,
came around.
His arm exploded in August. And because we didn't have anybody else, he had to pitch. Dude, his arm exploded. He has a bone chip in his elbow. It exploded in August. Clark Schmidt's arm exploded. Gerrit Cole's arm exploded. These guys' arms are imploding. I'm not saying it's a Yankee thing that their arms are exploding, but that's what pitchers do. And people are like, well, you know, we have 5 starters to start opening day. Fried, Schlittler, Warren, Heel, Yarbrough. Do people think that, like, they're all going to be healthy to start opening day? Do people think they, like, how do people think this is going to go if the Yankees don't add a premium starting pitcher? Or at least a good one.
Yeah.
And they need bullpen support.
Super valid. Like, super valid.
In what world do people think that this pitching staff is, like, just going to magically, like, hey, I can give Matt Blake shit and he's going to turn water to wine? That's not even water. You're giving him piss and asking him to turn it to wine. This is not a good enough pitching staff. When people go, well, they need Kyle Tucker, you need this guy, that guy, and I want Kyle Tucker. I do. I don't understand how people think that this pitching staff's good enough. I don't understand when people get so upset when the Yankees try and go out and add like 50 pitchers. They need arms. You just need like, you need 7 starters to get through the year. I don't get it, Alex. I don't, I'm not saying that like we have to trade for Skubal. Not going to happen. I just don't get why people like give them a pass. It's like the pitching staff's always like, no, the offense. It's like Alex, I do live streams every day and I get 50 comments every single live stream. The offense sucks. The offense sucks. The offense sucks. And it's like, guys, have you watched the postseason? Why do we keep losing? It's the pitching. They can't pitch in the postseason for some reason. They're dead by the postseason. Their arms are shot. Nestor's elbow exploded in the last week of 2024. And then he comes back, and what was his first appearance? So, I mean, take it from here, but like, they need pitching, man. They need pitching badly. I would do whatever it takes to go get pitching this offseason.
Yeah, I guess to rewind, you know, to the question about Skubal, is like, I wouldn't acquire Skubal. That does not mean I don't want to acquire pitching. I think that Tatsuya Amai and, you know, people don't really like Mackenzie Gore. I think that's a little overblown. I think he's a good pitcher. I think that the Yankees would make him better. And he's been healthy. So that's another. And he's young. Was he 27, 28 years old? So, you know, what do you think of the realistic pitchers are, though? Like, are you going to, you know, talk about injuries? I know, like, Michael King's a guy that you've loved in the past. Like, are you concerned about his injury history? Like, what are the, if you had to rank 3 pitchers right now, I'm like, these are the guys I prefer and I think are realistic. Who are you, what's your ranking there?
Okay. Imai, King, Gore, Alcantara, and Peralta are all like same level for me. Like, if you acquire any of the 5, I'm happy. I would have like Peralta 1. I think Peralta is the best pitcher of that group. Not by a big margin, marginally. I just want you to know I blew out my voice. My voice is already shot. I just blew out my voice. My voice is
elbow's gone.
Shot for a week.
Voice is gone.
It's done. I'm cooked for a week. Okay. Then we want to talk about. I think Amai is number 2 for me. I think King is. It's either King. Now the question for me is like Gore, King, Alcantara. I think Gore has the most upside. Alcantara has the most. I don't know. I don't. I think even Amai, like, I don't know if I comfortably would take Amai over the other 3. I think Peralta's 1. But, like, for me at least, and this is the thing that gives me hope, there are 5 guys I think who get moved or who could get moved. I'd say 4 of them get moved that I would want and that I'd be very happy with. And I think the Yankees can make better or the Yankees would get, and that immediately fills the rotation hole. So I don't know how you feel, but I think any of those 5 guys will do it for me. I'll be happy with any of those 5 guys.
Yeah, add one of those guys. The upside is obviously tangible and reasonable there. So the question is, what are the Yankees willing to give up? What are other teams want? I think those prices will inevitably come down. Or, you know, they could go up because the free agent pitching market is bad. It's like Zach Gallen and who else is even out there as a starting Michael
King. I'm not
King,
paying
like,
Framber. I'm not paying Framber. Zach Gallen. I'm not paying Ranger Suarez. Like, I'm not paying any of those guys. And the Yankees aren't.
Right.
So not even my money. It's they're not doing it. And I wouldn't want them to do it. Now, one question I do have to ask you, Alex, if you were to trade a starter, because I think the Yankees are going to have to trade a starter to get a starter, if they were to trade for a starter, who are you trading? Are you trading Warren? You're trading Hill?
So
I think
it's either
we can say no, right?
Yeah, Schlittler, I'm, no? I'm keeping Schlittler just because I think that if he develops a secondary pitch that's really like an out pitch that can pair with his fastball, he's going to be like borderline untouchable. Like, I think that's going to be like, he's going to be the next ace of the Yankees long term. It's a big what if right now, but we know that fastball is so good that even players know what's coming and they can't hit it. So, you know, I think that we saw him live, Ryan, when he like went crazy. I forget who they was, it the Jays or something. Like he just dominated them. So, you know, I do think when you look at the pitchers I'm willing to part with, there's three, right? It's Warren, it's Luis Hill, and it's Elmer Rodriguez. Rodriguez is interesting to me as a tradable piece because he's unknown. You know, people know what Luis Hill is. He's injury prone. His stuff is electric, but he's injury prone. You're gonna have to live with that if you acquire him. Will Warren, not a big velocity guy. He has a deep bag of pitches, but they're just not that good. Like he can be an. I think his upside, realistically, love Will, great dude. I think his upside is an average starting pitcher, most likely. I think that's realistically where he lands. And there's a lot of value to that because an average starting pitcher for us is, you know, maybe above average for other teams. It is relative. So I do think when you look at Elmer Rodriguez, though, like he's got a nice bag of pitch. He's got his velocity increasing. Like that's a guy you could go to teams and be like, he's whatever you imagine him to be. You know what I mean? Like we know what Will Warren is. We know what Luis Hill is, or at least we know what the majority of them are. Like Elmer Rodriguez is a big question mark. And I think that is valuable. Question is, do the Yankees want to take a chance on Elmer Rodriguez? Because they like him a lot, too.
Yeah, so the way I look at things with the Yankees is they should have enough chips to do something. I say it time and time again, like, the winter meeting's boring, complete snooze fest. I went live 6 times, I think.
Nothing
happened. Boring snooze fest. But it wasn't like I'm watching, it's not like I watched Tatsuya Mai sign with the Cubs or Michael King sign with the Mets. And then I saw Bellinger sign with this team. And like, it's not like I saw the guys I just mentioned go. No one I thought the Yankees had a real shot at or we're going to actually go after left the board. None of them. And I say it to say, like, just be patient. If guys start going that the Yankees want, dude, I'll be here, like, the same way I've been saying for basically 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, be patient, slow down, like, let Brian Cash, let the offseason play out. Yeah, I'll be just as loud in my, wow, what a failure of an offseason, they didn't do anything, like, the AL East got better. Like, I'll get there if I'm given reason to. I'll get there if guys start going and the Yankees don't get them. The Yankees aren't going to budge on Bellinger because why would they? And I know that we could like talk about some of the reports that came out about like the Mets not really being that in and being more like opportunistic, not really aggressive there. I know Martino said like, oh, well, you know, the Yankees, they might be just like kind of letting him, they might be comfortable letting him go. And they're kind of being weird with their money this year. Why should the Yankees make an outrageous, outlandish, aggressive bid for a player who no one wants to give 5 years to? Why? If he's asking for 7 and the Yankees are offering 5, Alex, why should the Yankees why should the Yankees offer a 6th year? Why?
There's no point. I mean, there's no point for the Yankees to go further than they need to with these contract durations because they're trying to win right now. I understand, like, you're getting the most of your value up front. But, like, you know, when you're looking at pitchers right now, like, it's just a matter of time before their elbow explodes, like you said earlier. Like, it's just going to happen to a lot of these guys. Offensively, like, Cody Bellinger is, like, I think that's a bit of the mirage of what Cody Bellinger is. We saw one of the best versions of Cody Bellinger last season, but that was kind of an anomaly over the past couple years. You know what I mean? Like, he is super volatile. The version of Cody Bellinger we get moving forward could be so different than the one we just got. And, like, that's what scares me about Bellinger and why Kyle Tucker is the better option, because you're going to get a 130-plus WRC plus every single season, every year from Kyle Tucker. And I'd like to also point out, I love Bellinger, great Yankee. I'm happy to bring him back. But he also just had his best defensive year in a long time, too. So, like, he just put together, like, one of his best seasons ever, and he has a long career full of volatility, and Kyle Tucker's the most consistent player. So, like, there's a lot of risk involved. And I know that Scott Boras is selling the bill of goods. Like, and I think someone is going to pay Bellinger. Like, someone's going to cough it up. Like, someone will give him what he wants. The Yankees just have to determine if it's too much for them to handle. And from a pitching perspective, I think they're going to trade for somebody. I don't think they're going to sign anybody. I don't think they're going to sign Michael King. I think the Mets have a higher probability of signing Michael King than the Yankees do. I think they will trade for somebody, whether it is a Gore, whether it is a, you know, Freddie Peralta. You know, we'll see how things go. But that's the second tier behind Skubal. Like, that's the secondary tier. I'm fine with that, though. Like, the Yankees every season make a trade, and they send a whole bunch of prospects. And every single season, Ryan, we fast forward, and suddenly there's a whole crop of new really valuable players that they're developing. So it's like, I'm not afraid to trade. Obviously, they leverage their catcher pipeline. That's pretty much been exhausted. I think they've used all of them for the most part. That's one pipeline that's kind of dead right now, after Narvaez and Augustin Ramirez and yada yada. So, like, the question is, who's our most valuable players right now that teams really need? And the obviously the matchup is good. You're looking at Spencer Jones. You're looking at George Lombard. I don't think the Yankees want to trade Lombard. You're looking at Jason Dominguez. You're looking at Elmer Rodriguez. You're looking at guys like that. So those are the headliners. But I don't think that the Yankees want to spend big money, not because they – like long-term money, not because they don't necessarily want to. But I do think they don't want to spend it because of the CBA expiring. I think that's the main thing right now. I think Hal Steinbrenner wants to pinch pennies. Like, he'll get to $320 million. You know, he'll replicate what he did last year. But I think they're not going to sign any, like, long-term deals that are over, like, you know, that push them out of their comfort zone, because they want to see if a cap is implemented in the CBA negotiations. And that will limit their how much they have to spend moving forward. So I do think they're trying to wait that out, and they're trying to be a little bit conservative because of it.
Yeah, and again, I mean, look, when we talk about the Yankee offseason, we talk about, let's say, Cody Bellinger. Again, like I kind of referenced that a little bit earlier. You don't bid against yourself. And I do think there are some things they can't do because of Cody Bellinger. They can't trade Jason Dominguez for a player that they want and they think the value's fair for without Jason Dominguez, like without Cody Bellinger. Why would you – how can you, right? Like how can you trade for how can you trade Jason Dominguez without Cody Bellinger? That doesn't help you. You got to have a left fielder on your roster. But could they trade for Freddie Peralta? Yeah, Freddie. Like, the Brewers don't need an outfielder. Could you sign Tatsuya Amai? That might be complicated. Maybe you don't sign Amai because you're waiting to see how much you're going to spend on Bellinger, but if they're willing to sign both, sure. even like a Mackenzie Gore, would the Nationals need Jason Dominguez? I'm not sure. So, again, like, Jason Dominguez might hurt you in, like, your ability to go trade for, let's say, like, maybe it hurts you in a Sandy Alcantara trade. Maybe it hurts you in another trade route. Maybe if you were to trade with the Royals, maybe it's like, hey, you can't trade for any of their pitchers because you don't have an outfielder to give them. But I don't really feel like the Yankees are in a position where they can't trade for somebody because Cody Bellinger isn't on the roster. And for Scott Boras, like, if I was Brian Cashman, my message would be, when you get more than 5 years, you call me. Until then, here's my offer. It's going to remain this. I'm not pulling it off the table. We'll go from there. Because why? Why am I bidding against myself? And I say time and time again, I say it on live streams, I say it on podcasts, I say it in tweets. No reason why they should be bidding against themselves. Now if you ask me, like, balls to the wall, I have infinite budget, I'm just going out and signing Kyle Tucker. You want to wait for Kyle Tucker to sign? Cool. I'll sign Kyle Tucker then. Like, I'm a sign Tucker. You can go find your cheap, you know, team contract for Bellinger, and you can regret the day you rejected the Yankees offer. But until then, we'll see. So, I mean, again, I think the final rumor is, like, linking to Mackenzie Gore. This is kind of that conversation. We've had the conversation about Mackenzie Gore. I don't think we have to rehash it too hard. But, Alex, is there any final notes that, like, you're like, wow, like, that's a little interesting? Or is this kind of like, you know, wait and see mode? That's how I kind of feel right now.
We're not that unused to this kind of approach by the Yankees and Cashman. They do tend to wait. I mean, they waited a long time for Soto. Like, they really waited. Judge, I mean, that took a while. Like, they've, on the big names, the big guys, they tend to wait. Cashman likes to exhaust his options. That's his style. You know, he's a seasoned vet. Like, he exhausts his options before he makes a decision. And I think that's a fine approach. Yeah, you might lose out on some guys in the meantime, but most of the time, that's because guys are paying over for them. You know what I mean? Teams are overpaying for players and giving them too many years. Like, he's not in the business of overpaying. That used to be the case, you know, many years ago. But now the Yankees are about waiting and looking at, okay, what is available that fits what we need at our price? And that's his approach. You can build a team that way. There's going to be flaws. There's going to be risk and volatility involved. It's been effective. The Yankees get to the playoffs every single season for the most part. They just like you said, their pitching explodes physically and mentally. So they do need more pitching. But listen, this is not a surprise to us or Cashman. Cashman said it verbatim. Like, we need another pitcher. Like, we need, you know, they may not go heavy into the bullpen. That's usually a deadline thing for him. But they're going to go heavy. I think at least they're going to get a big name as a starter. They're going to get a Peralta. They're going to get a Gore. They're going to get an Imai. I think that one of those three guys will be a Yankee within the next, or even Alcantara, I'll throw him into the mix too. One of those four guys will be a Yankee within the next, like, month, you know, potentially, maybe a month and a half. I could see that being a reality. And when that happens, Ryan, are we going to sit here and say, is that enough? No, they do need to bring back Bellinger or acquire someone as a fallout plan, which, you know, in my opinion, the only real backup plan to Bellinger, there's two guys that come to mind. I mean, it's Donovan, you stick him in left field and, like, hope for the best, or it's Stephen Kwan, where you're getting a Gold Glover and you're getting a tremendous leadoff hitter. I know he was kind of average hitter last year by the metrics, but, you know, as a leadoff hitter, he's the perfect setup man for Judge. So, like, I do think that, like, that there's logic to that. But we're going to see how creative the Yankees get. They've been a lot more creative than aggressive, I'd say, in recent years. After losing out on Soto, I think they're a bit scared of being used as the price driver. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of teams have used the Yankees as this, like, team that drives the price up. I think that's actually changing, though. You know, I think that now teams are going to use the Mets. They did it for, you know, the Edwin Diaz. They used it for Pete Alonso. Like, they're using the Mets as that price driver. The Yankees will end up losing that stigma around them. And I think that actually will be a good thing because it'll allow them to compete in these without being used as bait, you know? And I think that is a positive development for us, but we're going to have to see. It's glacial speed right now. Absolutely. We're just doing our due diligence, just like Cashman, on all of these players, what they bring, what they don't bring, what we like, what we don't like. And I think that's about as much as we can do until they start to make moves. Then we can break down the actual impact on this team.
Yeah, again, I mean, look, the Yankees are they're a good team right now, I think. I think they're a good team. They've got good players. They need to be a better team. They've got flaws, and they got to address them, and we'll kind of go from there. But this isn't like a team that won, like, 80 games last year. This isn't like the 2023 Yankees, where they were oh-my-God levels of bad that year. And even then, they were above 500, but, you know, I mean, they won 82 games. We're not going to crown them for winning 82. You know. This is not a team coming off a bad year. This is a team coming off a 94 win year. This is a team coming off a year where they won 94 games and it felt like they should have won more. That if they did, they just held a couple more leads. If Devin Williams wasn't terrible for most of the year, if they could play defense in Toronto, they might have won more games. Now, if and close, not close, that doesn't matter in sports. It's the results. And at the end of the day, they were a 94 win team. They weren't anything more or less than that. I feel like the general pessimism about the Yankees is just Yankee fans who can't say anything good about the Yankees. And that's fair. Like, again, you're allowed to kind of fan however you want to fan. Fan, short for fanatic. It's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to act like a GM. But you're just, like, I want to kind of, like, I think a really important part about talking about sports is talking about it, bridging the fan gap. Me as a fan, like, the screaming and getting upset at Jake Cousins for walking Gavin Lux and never being able to let that go. And then there's, like, the, okay, well, Jake Cousins walking Gavin Lux doesn't mean that, like, the next guy who pitches for the Yankees out of the bullpen in that kind of scenario is going to walk a guy that they're all losers or whatever it may be. If you just keep, like, if you bet against the Yankees to win the World Series every single year, you're going to win a lot of money because teams don't win the World Series every year. In fact, if you spent, if you spent money on the Dodgers not winning the World Series over the last 5 years, you would have a win in 21, a win in 22, a win in 23, and then back-to-back losses. You'd still go 3-for-5 betting against the freaking Dodgers. If you bet on the Mets not winning the World Series, 5 straight years of not even getting to the World Series, right? Like, it happens. It's a hard sport to win in. I don't want them to not win the World. I want them to win the World Series. I'm not gonna be happy if they don't win the World Series. I'm gonna be unhappy, unsatisfied every time they don't win the World Series. But I also don't think it's a bad team. I can look at it. I think they're better on paper than they were going into the 25 season when they hit free agency. Once they hit free agency after 24, when the World Series ended, that team was worse than when the World Series ended after 25. That is how I view it. Maybe we end up making – maybe the fact that they don't make as many moves makes it so that it kind of nets – it kind of evens itself out. Maybe the Yankees have some back-breaking injuries the same way they did this year, and they're not able to rebound from them. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't have a reason to think this group's going to suck. I have a reason to think this group's going to have to compete and scratch and claw to win the division. I have a reason to believe this group has to get better. I have a reason to believe that they're not the best team in baseball. I have a reason to believe they're going to have to do a good amount of heavy lifting on the roster in order to get to a point where they can win the World Series, or where they should be expected to win the American League. But that doesn't mean they're a bad team. There's a gap between favorites and bad. And the Yankees are helpful. Like, they're way closer. The Yankees are way closer to winning the World Series than they are to missing the playoffs. That is how I feel. You want to say, well, the Orioles are better. Well, the Red Sox are better now. The Blue Jays are better now. All these teams got better. You still got a terrible AL Central. You still got no good teams in the AL West outside of the Mariners. Still going to make the playoffs in that scenario, probably. Right? 1, 2, 3 division winners. I don't think anybody else in those divisions outside it. If you want to be super doomer mode and say the Yankees are worse than the Blue Jays, than the Red Sox and the Orioles, and the Yankees finish fourth, they can still make the playoffs finishing fourth even. I'm not saying they're going to, or they should finish fourth. I'm just saying, even in their doomerist of doomerist opinions, they're at least a playoff team. At least. And they haven't even done anything yet. So, yeah. Alex, any final thoughts?
No, man, I think we covered pretty much everything that dropped from that Passan article and the Passan article. And then, you know, more will happen, more rumors will drop, more speculation will come out, and we'll be here to discuss it, obviously. So, you know, hopefully we make some big moves. We're lying in wait, as I kind of would say. You know, Cashman's lying in wait. He's lying for the opportunity and waiting for that chance to kind of emerge. But, you know, the truth of the matter is this team can win. This team can be ultra competitive. They just have to do it consistently and show up in big moments, and they do need a couple extra pieces to perfect that puzzle, or at least enhance that puzzle. But guys, you know, really, really appreciate tuning in. If you're 51 minutes in right now, you got a whole lot of info. You got a whole lot of Ryan rants. You got a whole lot of value. So, you know, make sure to like and subscribe as always. And Ryan, I'll let you wrap things up for us.
I just didn't think I'd get that mad over the – like, I relive the Jake Cousins walk and just get, like, irrationally angry, but I've never gotten that angry over the Jake – like, I think that moment – I think what gets me upset is the fact that the story is never told correctly. The story is told in a way that's so stupid. The story is never told as, like, Max Fried got the absolute tar beaten out of him by the Blue Jays. It's – the Yankees didn't score in the ALDS. That's why they lost. It's like, dude, they gave up like 80 runs in that series. Like, the Yankees got smoked. Like, we can – Alex, I could go – I can't. I can't relive that. I can't have that whole conversation again. I can't. Like, the Yankee pitching – oh, my God, dude. I can't. No, the Yankees, I'm not going to do it again. All right, anywho, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be live today again tonight at 7:30, somewhere in that range. I'll give you guys a clear and defined time by then. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody, and let's go Yankees. Perfect.